Kids are still being hurt. Families are still being hurt. That's the upshot of the near 2-year budget impasse and its impact on the YWCA Young Wonders Early Learning Program. Melissa Breeden, the program's director, says the state's 6-month stopgap spending plan was too little, too late, and is now gone, leaving continuing budget woes in its wake. The state reimburses the Young Wonders Early Learning Program up to $80,000 per month. Breeden says they haven't been reimbursed for December's payment, and as of January 1st, the program is operating at risk.
Each week that goes by, we're hoping to get reimbursed, but unfortunately, there's no answers there yet.
What is the state of the Child Care Assistant Program?
So currently, as far as we know, they are still approving families for assistance, but that is not guaranteed. And so right now we are still in that state of fear of, will we still have that assistance for our families? And if so, we cannot start any families without an active approval through that program, which means if a family really needs the care immediately, unfortunately, they need to wait until they have that approval, and sometimes that can take up to 2 weeks. And so we've had to turn families away and hope that they come back with an approval, and there are some that have not been able to come back. Right now, we run 50% of our families that receive that assistance, and it's a wonderful program, but because of the budget crisis that we're in, it's not guaranteed. And so I have had a couple of our current clients that receive that program come to me and ask, what is happening? Will I still have care for my child? And I've had to tell them, right now we are happy to serve you, but unfortunately we are taking this week by week. I will update you when I know more. But that is the crisis that we're in. We don't know more, and we need a budget passed. And even if it is passed, we're looking at cuts. So are we going to lose some of our families because their co-payments increase? We might. Will families just get completely denied because of the income requirements? They may get denied, and where are they going to go?
Last year when we talked to you, you talked about a child that you're losing sleep over. Let's listen to a sample from that interview from last year.
We had a 4-year-old boy that came to us struggling socially and emotionally, which means he was extremely violent. He had a language issue. He couldn't really express himself. He experienced trauma in his life. So we really worked hard for 2 years to make sure that he was getting the love and affection that he needed. And so he went from being, you know, a very violent, lost child to a successful child that loved school. When we lost the Child Care Assistance Program, basically the Department of Human Services, they couldn't reimburse us for the care. And that was a very heart-wrenching decision we had to make. You know, here's 2 years of our progress that we've poured into this child that's really needed it. And we had to dismiss them because we were not receiving the funds.
And you've lost track of that child.
I have. I'm not sure where he is right now.
And you said at the time you were losing sleep over this.
Mm-hmm.
Is this still the same situation? And have other children fallen away due to the budget impasse?
Yeah, I would say it's much worse. I mean, you can feel the fear that we all have. I mean, parents need our services. Our teachers need to be able to provide unconditional love at all times and not worry about, will this child be here next week? We have a child right now in our school age program that unfortunately is also no longer with us. And the issue there is that he had behavior issues. He needed extra services to get back on track. And, you know, it's not just our child care program in this town that's being affected. There are other services, the mental health system in this town, there's waiting lists for kids that need developmental services like the child I'm referring to in our school age program. Unfortunately, we could not link him with services. I wish I could say I have had a consistent night's sleep since this is all happening, but I just haven't. And I know I'm not the only one, and this is just terrible.
I keep hearing the word fear out of you,
mm-hmm.
and that actually is disconcerting that
yes.
you're operating off of a level of fear
mm-hmm.
in this situation. You have talked about having to consider layoffs of your staff. Has it come to this?
What I've had to do is really look at our program needs, which have shifted, because now I have to look at, okay, if I'm not receiving this money, what are my priorities? And so, for example, we had a full-time roving teacher. A roving teacher is like a full-time substitute This particular employee was with us for 10 years. She has shown a lot of love to hundreds of kids over the years. And unfortunately, we don't need that particular position because I can also use some subs for a lot of those duties. So I did offer this employee a different shift time, but that doesn't work for her family, which I completely understand. But that's somebody that we're losing because of the circumstances we're in.
How is morale?
I would say that, you know, I have amazing staff. We are all there for our mission. We know that these kids need our services, and we're very family-oriented. But it's hard when they come to me with questions on what does it look like in the future, and I don't have the answers. And so tomorrow we're having a staff meeting to address all these changes and to basically let them know, like, we are in the trenches with them. I will work in the classroom. I will pour my blood, sweat, and tears in the program to make sure we're continuing to provide our services. But, you know, we had to, a couple of staff have left for different opportunities, and I'm not filling those positions. So at this time, there's no layoffs or firings, but I don't get to fill some of the positions that I feel are necessary.
Hopefully, eventually, there will be a budget. Do you feel that you have been permanently damaged by this budget battle?
I do, because I know that even if a budget is passed, there's going to be cuts. And so we're never going to be back to where we were a few years ago, where things were stable and we were able to have wiggle room and really spend money to invest in our program. So even if a budget is passed, I know I'm looking at crumbs, and that's just unacceptable.
Have you had to be creative with supplies mm-hmm. and art materials and that sort of thing?
Yes, we really rely heavily on donations, on volunteers. We take advantage of ISU, Wesleyan, Bloomington High School, really anybody that knocks on our doors to say, I have extra toys or books, will you take them? Yes, we will take them. If you are listening and you feel like you can help our program, give me a call and I would be happy to take advantage of that.
Do you see that this is the future, that you are going to be having to look to alternatives and just say, I can't rely on the state, I have to go to other alternatives? Are you looking at maybe forming a committee to find support elsewhere?
Yes. We have talked in the past about involving our families and having like a parent support committee. And I would love to have that, because we have parents that work for organizations in this community that I know are more well off than others. And so I would absolutely love to sit down and just brainstorm and see, you know, what other innovative ideas we can have to change our program and to not rely on state funding. So we have looked at our program and we're trying to think of innovative ideas to bring, you know, money in and to really think, okay, what have we not tried? And one position that we are hiring for is a music teacher position. And basically, this person would offer music lessons to children of all ages, and it's open to the public. So I'm hoping to hire that person soon. Keep an eye out. If anybody knows of anyone that has a passion for music and teaching, send them my way. The other program we do have is called Traveling Teachers. And basically, we know that there are some parents in town that maybe can't commit to full-time childcare, but they also have lives, they have things going on, and if somebody wants to go grab lunch with their friend, or if they have a night commitment, as long as they tell us 2 weeks ahead of time, they could check out our website. We can link them to what I'd love to call a traveling teacher, and we can bring our curriculum to their door. It's convenient, you can pay ahead of time, but there's also no commitment to join for a long time, because some people just need temporary care.
I know you had to cut diagnostic tests. Have you had to cut further into that?
Currently, we do still refer our families that we feel could use some of extra developmental services. We still refer out. We still assess that each child when they enter the program to make sure they're on track. So even though we refer and we do assess, sometimes we don't get the services in the end. So really what we're seeing is a child that continually struggles. And unfortunately, when we did have a budget, when we had the means, what we would usually do is we would add extra staff to the classrooms. So that child has more one-on-one attention, and you would see behaviors decrease, and you would see them really progress. But right now, what I'm operating at is a base DCFS ratio. So that means less staff and less support that the child gets. if the child care assistance program does go away again, like it did, that's about 54% of our families that receive that. And so, you know, one thing I want to stress to the representatives in this state is, where are those children going? What are their parents doing? They can't continue to work full-time at places like McDonald's and hotels and restaurants if they need to be home taking care of their children. And what does that look like for the businesses in our community? And just what quality of care are their children receiving? So I think when they sit down and they discuss a budget, they need to think about, what do they want our communities to look like? And we need these social service agencies. We need to be able to help each other and get the children and families what they need and what they deserve.
You're getting questions from families, from parents. You're getting questions from staff members about the future. Are the kids noticing changes? Are the kids asking questions?
I would say no, but that's really the best part about all this. That's why, Young Wonders, we do what we do. Because even in the face of, you know, no budget, even though we are stressed out and we're trying to see what's around the corner, if you walk into any one of our classrooms, you'll see a smiling child and, you know, they're playing, they're having fun, and that's why we are doing what we're doing.
That's Melissa Breeden, the YWCA Young Wonders Early Learning Director. I'm Laura Kennedy.